Last week, we talked about the Church of Jesus Christ being the sleeping giant. How many remember that message? If she wakes up, she'll shake the world. So the devil wants to make sure that we sleep and slumber. God wants to send a spiritual awakening. Say it with me, a spiritual awakening. Every true revival has been alluded to, referred to, distinctly declared, a spiritual awakening. It is one of the clearest pictures of what revival really is when we use the term a spiritual awakening. Revival doesn't begin when a bunch of people suddenly come in from the community and get saved. That is not the initial beginning of true revival. Revival begins in my heart. Revival begins in your heart. Can you say amen? It begins in our lives, collectively, corporately. Praying for revival to come down is really not a biblical concept, and the great revivalist of old called it an absolute misnomer. We describe what we feel like. We feel like it comes down from above, and somehow we would imply that God is holding revival in heaven, and if we pray hard enough, He will send it to us. Remember the words of Jesus, say ye not, there are 4 months and then comes the harvest, but raise your eyes and look upon the field, for they are white unto harvest. White unto harvest means we either get it now or it's lost forever. Everybody say we get it now or it's lost forever. How many know the people that we have been assigned? And I believe in God's pre-knowledge of everything that He has assigned us to reach certain people. I believe I have an assignment from God, not just a mandate to preach into all the world, but a concise assignment to reach certain people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe this church has an assignment to accomplish, and our commitment to the assignment that God has given us. Amen. If you don't see yourself as part of something God is doing in the radio ministry and supporting this so that... Did you know the Sunday morning service is going over the airwaves for 1 hour every Sunday? These services we're in, and if we don't have these services, we can't send in the tapes of that morning service. Amen. We lose that window of opportunity to bring this gospel to wherever God wants to send it. We already know there are listeners because we have a... they take the discs that they've already played and put them in a restaurant up there, Alice says, and said they go out of there like slices of apple pie for free. Can you say, man, people grab them up in Madison. And we're just praying that wherever God takes the broadcast, people grab it up. Amen. One Methodist lady rushes home from her church to turn on the radio to hear this church service after her church service and has made that known. There's a man in Virginia who, when the lightning struck the station, called the station and said, listen, I wanted to hear, let's talk about Jesus. What's going on down there? That's good. Can you say, man, that someone cares enough to pick up the phone and say, we missed that broadcast. Hallelujah. So we're grateful for what the Lord is doing. I have an assignment. We were on the air. And I'm going to read this in a moment, believe it or not. But we were on the air in South Carolina in a small station in, you remember the place? I preached there for Gastonia, South Carolina. And we were on for several weeks. We didn't feel to continue, so we canceled the broadcast. We put the money into other things. Station manager called me. There must have been about 12 master broadcasts sent to him, 30-minute broadcasts, excerpts of live services. I would introduce the live service, take us into the live service, make an altar call at the end. And he called back and said, can I rerun those broadcasts for free? We have time that hasn't been sold. This is a quality broadcast in terms of the sound and in the substance. May I run it for free again? All 12 of them. I said, man, you would, let me pray about this. No, it's the gospel. Go preach it into all the world. Run it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody wants to preach my message verbatim. Preach it. It's not copyrighted. Amen. Don't want it to be. Plagiarize me. I don't care. One preacher said, I preached your message at this church, and I preached it just like you preached it. I said, well, glory. Hallelujah. Hope they'll call you back again sometime. Praise God. Amen. Because I know I'm going to magnify Jesus somewhere in that message and lift him up. Christ is going to be preached if you preach what I preach. Hallelujah. Victory is going to be declared if you preach what I preach. Hallelujah. Amen. So go ahead and preach what I preach. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, they put it on again and they run it again. And God had assigned this ministry, amen, to reach somebody that he wanted to reach. The amazing thing about God is there's all these ministries out there with so much more influence, but God assigns us to reach certain people. Praise God at certain times. And a lady driving in her car that was from her earliest years, she wrote me a letter. And this was during that second running when God said, I want to reach somebody specifically with one of these sermons. We were not dealing with homosexuality in any sense of the word. We were dealing, in fact, the message she heard, being a lesbian from an early age, the message she heard was on David slaying the giant. Just simply slaying the giants in your life. She said, I wanted to be a Christian, but I didn't want to deal with that I felt I couldn't change. So what was the point until I heard a message on slaying your giants? And she said, and this was the giant in my life standing between me and what I believed that I needed to accomplish in terms of repentance. And I felt I can't deal with this, so there's no point in even trying to follow Christ. But I heard a message on slaying your giants. And God has changed me, she said, from the inside out. God, I accepted Christ in the car. I cried out to him, and this giant fell in my life. And I want to thank you for preaching that message on slaying your giants. Can you say amen? Well, it's free if you want to be. You got to make choices. Everybody has to choose. But I want you to know, and you know what my giant was? My giant was cigarettes. I love cigarettes. Amen. I love them. I smoked them instead of eating lunch all through junior high school. I spent my lunch money on cigarettes. Amen. I smoked cigarettes when I didn't have cigarettes. I smoked my stepdad's throwaway cigarettes in the ashtray. I kept the ashtrays clean. My mother was so proud of me for emptying the ashtrays every day because if they were that long, they were going in my pocket for later. And that was back when they didn't have filters on them bad boys. Amen. They were just them Camels and Lucky Strikes and no filters on them. And I would grab them things, and I'd take it right on down until my fingers were yellow with nicotine on my thumb and forefinger. And you scrub and scrub, and that wouldn't come out. And I had those old yellow fingers from putting it right down. I got all the way to high school in Brandon High School. My dad would have never signed a permission for me to smoke, but if you had permission, they had a smoking table. You could tell where it was. They didn't even have to give me directions. All that smoke was rising up. Looked like Indians giving smoke signals, amen, between classes. But we only had 5 minutes between classes or six and had to go get the other book for the next class and run to the smoking table. I grabbed my book, I run, and I huffed and puffed to the smoking table. I got it out. I got it lit. I'm watching the clock. Everybody's headed for class, but I want one more. You know, one more, one more, one more. And I don't know if you know what hot box means, but the end of it, just the tobacco don't have a chance to burn naturally, and you get this big crazy-looking thing out there, and I'm huffing and I'm puffing and sucking on that. It got so bad I couldn't wait to get to the place where I was permitted. I signed one guy's permit as his daddy. He signed as my daddy. We just both prayed that our daddies would never find out. Can you say amen? Anyway, we were all, you know, but I couldn't. That wasn't enough. That wasn't enough between classes. I had to get something to get going on when I got to school. I drive up in the parking lot, look around both ways, and light up. It's a giant in my life. Wake up in the morning after I got married. with the flu. I mean the honky flu. That's what we white people get sometimes. You know, the honky flu. I wake up with the flu. Amen. And you know what I do with the flu? The very first thing. Yeah, I know. You never heard about honky flu, did you? You wondered what that was. We white people get the honky flu. It's twice as bad as y'all's flu. The honking kind. That's right. Amen. No, actually, white guys used to drive down through Harlem and honk at the black girls, and they called them honkies. You didn't know I was that sophisticated, did you? No, well, I am. So anyway, amen. That's where it came from. Anyway, no, I'm not kidding you. That's where I heard it came from. They used to do that. They drove fast and honked and kept right on going. But I'd wake up first thing with the honky flu. I mean, I couldn't breathe. I'm taking NyQuil, drinking it like Kool-Aid, and reach over. First thing I'd get up after coughing my head off. What's the first thing I'd grab when I wake up enough to wake up? And I'd grab me a cigarette, light it up. Everybody has giants in their life. Everybody. It doesn't matter what it is. You don't have to single out this group or that group. Some people have giants of unbelief. Some people have giants of fear. Some people have giants of doubt. Some people have simply giants of emotional scars from a past that they can't ever seem to get past. And they actually believe that these giants are too big for them. But we were assigned to tell somebody with a giant in their life that there is no giant. In other words, there is nothing in your life standing between you and God's revealed will, that if you determine to obey the will of God, that He won't give you the strength to see fall. Can you say amen? That woman heard that message of victory, and she designated her giant as a giant that's about to come down. Hallelujah. Because it's not by might nor power, but by the Spirit of God that these things are accomplished. Hallelujah. I thought I had to change myself when all I had to do is let God change me. Hallelujah. Amen. And one of the ways that He changes us is satisfy that longing in our life with living water so that we don't have to have this or that, because He becomes our satisfaction. He said, "My body is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." That statement caused a bunch of His followers to turn and go back. Because of the next thing He said, if you don't eat of My body and drink of My blood, you don't have any part in Me. You can hang around church, learn catechisms and creeds and dogmas, but if you don't participate, amen, in Jesus Christ, in His finished work on the cross, if you don't participate in what My blood and My body has provided for you, you really don't know Me and don't know what it means to be saved. And don't know what a life-changing thing it is to be born again. Eat My blood, eat My body, drink My blood. They said, this is a hard saying. And they turned and began to walk away. He turned to the 12 and He said to them, are you going to leave Me too? And they said, Lord, where can we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Can you say amen? If you say this has got to be more than what we see in the religious system, then show us the way. Hallelujah. If this has to be more than what the priests and the Levites are doing and telling us, show me the way. I can tell so many people have never met Jesus in a born-again experience. We may respect Him. We like Him. We may even love Him. But to receive Him as your personal Savior, when I got that message from that lady, I understood God assigned our ministry to reach her. Amen? We had that assignment. God brought us in contact with her for her salvation and her deliverance and to see her giant fall. And when I got that letter, it was just like a, woo! Hallelujah! That's why that station manager wanted to run it again for free. People have been benevolent enough to want to give us free time on the air. Isn't that an incredible thing? Amen. When you got to pay for everything. Amen. But for people to give you free time Praise God. And you know what's wonderful about free time? I never had to ask. Even when we were on the air paying for it in media years ago, Foundations for Faith, I never asked for one penny over the airway. No one could say there was any motive of being on the air but reaching people for Jesus. The church supported the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? So that we didn't have to literally try to always, amen, have such a thrust. And I understand if I was in television, we'd have to have funds for it. But I'm telling you something. If I had to do what some people are doing, I'd rather do what I'm doing with integrity. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The world needs to understand the motive of the church is not to manipulate them into giving so that we can build huge edifices to our success. Amen. The real true motive of the church, amen, is to plunder hell and populate heaven. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise in this room. Everybody say plunder hell and populate heaven. Freely you receive. Freely give. And we can't freely give unless Christians freely give so that we can continue to do it. But God has a plan of doing this in a way that maintains our integrity and causes our motive to be unquestioned. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. If God's really in it, we should go to Him and say, Lord, I'm not a beggar for You. I'm a preacher for You. Hallelujah. This is Your work. If You don't want it on the air, then we'll cancel it. Let's find out what You do want. But whatever you want done, you're going to somehow make a way to get done because You're God Almighty and there's nothing impossible with You. Hallelujah. Amen. Down through the years, we've practiced that and somehow God has kept us afloat. I remember when we had a whole orchestra. Oh, I was so proud of it. Come in when, I don't mean, you know, all the cellos and woodwinds, but we had a guy with a trumpet. And we had a guy with a Hawaiian steel guitar. And we had a guy with a bass guitar. And we had a guy on drums and a gal on the piano. And another guy over there had an organ over there. Amen. I don't know if they ever played the thing, but had it over there anyway. It looked good. It's a great big one. Looked good. Looked like it could be played. We was waiting on an angel to come and play that. We had an upright piano that an evangelist come. Amen. He was just like, not Jimmy Swaggart. He was like his cousin, Jerry Lee. I mean, he got to going like that on that thing. What he didn't know was old upright piano before we got the baby grant. Amen. It was big old heavy upright piano. Boy, that sucker was heavy. Amen. He played it like that. And I thought, don't you do that. Don't you slap on that piano. Amen. When we wiped the piano, we were very careful because the legs underneath, all of that area up in there was kind of wore out. And the legs were just, they were holding it, but they were not screwed into anything. Amen. So if you, and that old piano began to rock like that as he got to going on that old piano with rocking like that. And I thought, oh Lord, help him. Jesus, help him. Amen. I'll tell you, test your mettle, some of the things we went through. That old piano finally rocked back and those legs fell out and that piano came right down on his lap. He had a piano. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a piano on your lap. But I'm going to tell you, that's not a comfortable feeling. It couldn't be because his eyes looked kind of goggly, googly, or whatever you want to call it when it fell on him. Amen. I don't know if it's surprise or pain or a combination of the two. But we ran over there, being the great Christians we were, and we got the piano up off of him. Put the legs back up under it. Amen. And boy, I had deep respect for that preacher. He went right back to slapping that piano. Hallelujah. I said, there's a man of God right there. If you can play and preach and sing after that, the anointing has to be on you. And we had church. It seemed like nothing could stop the anointing because we had an assignment from God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We were there with an assignment from God. We were in a part of town that everybody else was leaving. Uh-huh. Not blaming them. Their assignment was to go on. Our assignment was to come in and take up the gap. There was a little church when we first started going, before even we started pastoring there, we went to a revival at a church on Nebraska Avenue. There was a pastor there by the name of Dale Brooks. We went into that revival, listened to Dale preach, and then listened to the evangelist preach. And it never grew beyond wherever we were at the Holy Church of God. Never did. When they moved out to Temple Terrace, out from Temple Terrace, Calvary Temple, amen, their first service was Brooks, all Brooks. He said the first service they had was all Brooks. There wasn't any visitors, nobody else but family. Every one of them was Brooks. He said, but it grew, and it grew, and it grew. Amen. They moved out. They fulfilled their assignment. They moved out. Amen. The University Church of God, you know where it was? Right down the street from us, about three blocks away in Sulphur Springs is where that began. But God told them to move on, and they moved on. Guess what God told us? Well, he's telling everybody else to move on. He told us to move in. We came in to fulfill an assignment in Sulphur Springs. And I led people to Christ in Sulphur Springs. Before they died on men, two men that sat and drank every Sunday morning, they started their drinking about church time. They were sitting out on a bench, both of them, you know, starting to throw them down. And I would say, why don't you guys come go to church? I'd come from the parsonage behind the church. Why don't you come go to church with us? Come on in. The roof won't fall down. Said, yeah, it will. Yeah, it will too. If I ever go in there, that roof will fall in. Hurt a lot of people. I don't want anybody hurt. Years and years passed until one of them got cancer of the throat and was dying. And the lady who was caring for him asked me to come pray for him. I tried to lead him to Christ. He said, in essence, I haven't served him. I haven't honored him. I'm not going to just do this now. I just can't. I said, if you ever change your mind, let me know. If you ever change your mind, let me know. One day I stopped at the church, and I really don't know why. To this day, I don't know why. I was in the neighborhood. I stopped, and I went up to the side door. And have you ever been somewhere and wondered, why am I here? I was standing at that side door wondering, what am I doing here? It's like the lady that the pastor went to visit. Her name is Maudie, and they said she hasn't been to church in years. And why don't you see if you can get her to come to church and talk to her about her soul? And he said, I will. And he went and visited her. She was gracious. She let him in. She made some tea, and they sat down in the living room. He said, Maudie, one of the reasons I'm here is to ask you, have you ever thought about the hereafter? And she said, Pastor, almost every day of my life, I think of that. She said, I will find myself standing in a room saying, now what am I here after? I didn't know why I was there, but God had given me an assignment. My assignment that day was to be at that place at that time because a car drove up while I'm fiddling with the key wondering, what am I here after? And said, do you remember the man that you came and prayed for? And he said he didn't want to receive the Lord. I said, yes, I do. He said, well, he's real close to dying, and he's asking for it. Would you come and pray for him? And I said, I'll be right there. Now I know what I was there. It's an assignment. These are important things. Life is not just being lived by a Christian under the anointing of God in a kind of meandering, willy-nilly fashion. God will assign you to reach people if you ever get sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit, prayerful enough about other things than your own personal needs, to raise your eyes and look upon the fields that are white unto harvest. I went to that home, and his voice was almost gone. You've heard this story before, but for the sake of the tape, I went to ask him to pray the sinner's prayer. I said, are you ready? And he said, yes, I am. This is the guy that sat for years. The guy that you just write off as too hard and too hopeless. There are no hopeless cases with God. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Where there's life, there's hope. Where there's breath, there's hope. We prayed the sinner's prayer. He says, can I be baptized in water? I said, I can't take you to the river, Hillsborough River, close to us, or our baptistry, in your condition. I do not believe in sprinkling as the choice, because it doesn't represent buried with and raised with. But I believe that God honored what we did. And I said, ma'am, do you mind changing this bed? She said, no, I change it two or three times a day anyway. I said, we're going to get it wet. She said, that's perfectly all right. I said, go get me a basin if you have one. Go get me a dishpan and get a big bath towel. And she went and got it and brought it back, and I plunged that bath towel in that dishpan, and I started squeezing at his head. And I squeezed and I plunged and I squeezed. And I tell you, he was just, the time I got done, he was as wet as anybody that had been immersed. Amen. I said, are you satisfied? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus Christ, I baptize you unto salvation. Here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Amen. When we got done, he shook his head. Yes. Amen. I said, then it's done, sir. It's done. What we this fulfills all righteousness, the requirements of God that you repent of your sin and be baptized in water. Amen. It fulfills all righteousness. In other words, you can't do anything else to save yourself but what you've just done right here today. Amen. But now, what he has done to save you, amen, is kicking into your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Whose sins you remit shall be remitted. If we can declare that to someone who's sincere in their heart, and God will honor it. I said, how do you feel? He said, good. And he said, and I thought he's going to say something, and I'm always listening for what. See, the most truth you will ever hear is when someone is dying and they want to talk to you. Because there's no reason to hold anything back, hide anything there. He called me down because the cancer had eaten most of his voice box. He called me down to his ear. When I got that close to him, where we were almost cheek to cheek, he took this hand and he pulled me with what little strength he had in his body. And he said something that sealed the fact that he really got saved. Because this is the guy belting down the beers with all the tattoos, the guy that says, I don't need God, you church. I mean, I respect what you're doing, but it ain't for me. This is this macho guy. And now we're cheek to cheek. You know what he says in my ear? I love you, brother. I love you. I love you. 1 John says, we know that we have passed from death to life because of what? Because we love the brethren. We love the brethren. This love thing is in this message today. I can't get away from it. Maybe I can't even pursue where we were going. But this is part of spiritual awakening. One of the things that's going to happen is a great love for God. This vertical love is going to kick in. Hallelujah. We're going to love God back for loving us. And we're going to love him enough to want to serve him, praise God. And when you want to serve him, you want the word of God in your life. You get hungry for righteousness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You get hungry for church. You don't find excuses to stay away. You get rid of the excuses so you can just feast on the good word of God. Hallelujah. You want to love him. You want his will to be done. You want to know everything there is about him. Hallelujah. It's a vertical love. The first love, amen, is vertical. Thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and strength. Passionately, powerfully. And he stimulates it by telling us it's show and tell with God. He doesn't just say it. He shows us on the cross. God commends his love. Can you say amen? And we, through Holy Communion, the first Sunday of every month, declare that love over and over and over again. His broken body, his shed blood, declares his love for a fallen man, fallen world, and everybody, amen, everywhere. There's no one beyond the reach of his love. While we were yet sinners, ungodly, Christ said, I love you this much. Can't save you unless you repent. Can't save you unless you receive my sacrifice and what it means, me as your Savior, but I love you. If you go to hell, you're going to go to hell loved of God. Not a person who ever went to hell that God didn't love. Amen. Amen? For God so loved the world. Everybody say, the world. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, everybody or anybody in the world, the fallen world of fallen man, could be saved. What a matchless grace this is. What a mighty God. 1 year later, almost to the month, the guy that sat next to that guy on the bench was diagnosed with brain cancer. And he was going through chemo, and he had the marks where they had marked for the radiation and chemo. And he sent someone to me. Would you come and pray for me? It was my privilege to sit in another bedroom and lead that man to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's an assignment. That's what this is all about. It's fulfilling an assignment. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Even as my Father sent me, listen to the assigning, so send I you. Can you say amen? How shall they believe upon him of whom they have never heard? I don't mean they haven't heard bits and pieces, but really heard the gospel. Because when that guy turned me away, I didn't leave until I told him how much God loved him. What Jesus had done on the cross to save him. And that there was no sinner, amen, that wasn't worth saving. No sin that God couldn't forgive except the sin of rejecting the salvation that he offers. Assignments. Things don't just happen. They're assigned to us. How shall they believe upon him of whom they have never heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? It's not just a clergyman. It's someone to declare the gospel to them. And how shall he go except he be sent or assigned? How did God get that Ethiopian man introduced to the gospel? He told a man to go and stay. This man had just held a revival that had shaken a city. He was a city-shaking evangelist. Amen. And you know what his next assignment was? Go into Gaza, the desert. Go at noon when the sun's at its hottest, when everybody else tried to get in the shade. Go out and stand in the sun at noon. Because he understands God gives assignments. You don't just choose what you're going to do. You fulfill an assignment. See, some people with big egos say, listen, I'm a citywide evangelist. I don't go out and stand in no desert to talk to no one person. I'm too big for that. Amen. I'm a person of great notoriety. Did you know if God told Billy Graham to come here, he ought to come here? Even though he has the capacity to reach 10,000, if God told him come here, he ought to come here, and he ought to come with anticipation that somehow through this assignment, God is going to do something special. In fact, it ought to make someone of that caliber more aware that God wants. If God is sending me to that little church, he must have something very special for Alice. Hallelujah. Sent me there just for Alice. Hallelujah. Oh, that preacher, there's a reason I'm there. I held a meeting one time, one of the coldest meetings I'd ever in. Totally unresponsive from the audience. I thought, Lord, why did you assign me to come here if you're not going to do something? I mean, amen would be helpful, something. Somebody get saved, get healed, get help. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. I thought, what am I doing here? Second night, I was ready to throw in the towel, leave, come home, come to you guys. Amen. Going to churches like that makes me appreciate churches like this. Hallelujah. Maybe that was my assignment. I want you to appreciate your people. Look what that guy's got to deal with. Yeah, church abuse. Preacher abuse. Anyway, amen. But you know what happened? After that second service was over, the pastor didn't want to leave. I had to drive back to Tampa. The pastor didn't want to leave. We went out through the side door, sit down under a moonlit night, me and him. Sit down on the steps. And he started pouring his heart out. It looked like it. I mean, when he opened up, they were in it with him. It's when I took over that it all quit. They were having the best time you ever saw. It looked like he was having the best time he ever had. But that was not the case. That was just all what it looked like. But when we sit down under the moonlight, close enough together on those steps for our shoulders to be touching one another, He started pouring his heart out to me. Couldn't pour it out to them. He said, if I told my church all these things, it would discourage them. He said, but I got to talk to somebody. And as we sat for a couple of hours out under the moonlight, I realized what my assignment was, not to go and bring his church alive. It was to go and minister to that preacher by letting him share and bear his soul in confidentiality. Who was he? See, you don't have a clue, and I'll never tell. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But God let, and I thought, Lord, maybe some of the things that you took me through instead of delivering me from was so I could fulfill that assignment. Because I was able to relate. I didn't just say, well, brother, just get on the word. Hallelujah. Just rebuke the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, just tell the devil to go where he needs to go and not come back. Amen. And, oh, brother, confess this. Oh, quote that scripture 14 times and see what happens then to the devil. Yeah, you get him. Yeah, then you got it. Okay, see you later, alligator. No, that's not what we did. We sit there and he poured his heart out. And I had been through some things because God took me through them, not from them. So I didn't give him some little prescription for victory that 1, 2, 3, you got it. I gave him understanding. I gave him compassion. I gave him love. I gave him shoulder to cry on. But then I gave him hope by telling him about what I had been through and what God took me through and what God brought me from. Hallelujah. And that hope began to encourage. I began to feel his heart being encouraged. Can you say, man? And I realize I'm not here to preach to his congregation. I'm here to encourage him. They don't know what he's hurting, but he is. They don't know behind the scenes what would hurt them, but he knows what it is. And it's a hurt down on the inside of him, and he carries it silently, and he carries it personally, and there's nobody he can tell about it, but you sent somebody he can tell about. And this was my assignment. And maybe that's why you took me through all of this and all of that. So when he starts talking about that, I can compassionately, I can be like Jesus in only in this sense to point him to Jesus. But I can be like the Lord in this sense. We don't have a high priest that isn't touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tested, tempted as we are, yet without sin. Amen. Therefore, he knows how to succor them that are hurting. He knows how to help them that are hurting. He has felt it. He didn't give in to sin, but he's felt it. He knows exactly when Mike's heart is broken. He knows how to put those pieces back together. We have a compassionate high priest that feels what we feel, identifies with us, and wants to help us, and knows exactly how to do it. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My assignment was not to stir his congregation, lead a revival in his church. My assignment was to sit down and be a brother to that man. And he could sing, and he could play an instrument, and he could preach like a man from another world, and he could stir an audience under the anointing. But he himself is going through a deep, dark valley. And he needs someone that wouldn't judge him, wouldn't be hurt by his confession. He wasn't confessing some closet sin. He was confessing deep hurt and discouragement that he couldn't seem to get past. Deep hurt and discouragement. Where do you go with that? We have to get close enough that we can confess our faults one to another, and that I will not be thought of any less by telling Mike, you got to pray for me. I got this issue in my life. And not go and say, well, you hear what Brother Venable's got going on. Amen. Wait till I get to the prayer meeting so I can tell them what Brother Venable's got going on. They really need to pray. No, that'll keep it confidentially. Yeah, disguised as a request. We really need to pray for Brother Venable. He's got this going on and that going on and this going on. And now the whole church, no. There's got to be confidentiality. There's got to be people that care enough that you can bear your soul to, and they're not going to judge you, and they're going to shore you up. And we need it in ministry, ministers. One time there was a minister at the Church of God where my son graduated in the first graduating class, and I prayed over that first graduating class at River Hills when they first began their Christian education department. Amen. But I remember the minister he was the former pastor of that church. Anyway, I remember the minister there, and I remember him going through things. And I wish that somehow we had connected. I remember ministers' meetings where we would never let our guard down. Where no one ever let their guard down because we're the preachers. You see them sitting behind evangelists while they're preaching, and they're stoic, and they're just kind of, you know, if I become like the sheep in any sense, if I come down to a human level, then people will disrespect me and not receive from my ministry. I've come to the place in God, if you don't come down and humble yourself, I do not respect your receive from your ministry. If you sit on a pedestal somewhere and imply that you can walk through life with just your faith without humbling before the Lord and connecting with one another, God designed the church to be interconnected. The hand never says to the foot, I am so anointed, I don't need you no more. Foot, I'm completely self-sufficient in myself. What do I need you for? And then the hand decides that the mouth needs a drink. The body needs a drink. And the foot says, what you want? And says, I'd love a drink. And says, well, foot says, you don't need me. Get your own drink. Well, you can play that game. I don't have to become part of a body anywhere. I watch television. Well, yeah, that's really great. Amen. I know about all of that stuff. You can't interconnect with you can't love one another by watching the TV. I don't care who's doing the preaching. You got to get up close and personal to do that. After a while, the hand has to concede. Foot, I need you. And the foot says, yeah, I need you too. I can take you over there. I can't pick it up. So why don't we just work together? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We can make it together. We need to unify. Glory be to God. We have assignments from the Lord. We're assigned to reach the lost. We're assigned to love one another. We're assigned to love God. Can you say amen? Amen. And if we're not fulfilling our assignment, then we're meandering around and the years are passing when we could be productive for God. Listen, you may not be the man or woman that you wanted to be, but it's not too late. It's not too late. It can begin today in our heart. We can set our heart to say, I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to be faithful to my brethren. I'm going to be faithful for once in my life. I'm going to be faithful. And listen, if you're going to be faithful, God will make you fruitful. Can you say amen? The day you set yourself to be faithful, God's going to make you fruitful. Hallelujah. In the Redwood Forest in California, best illustration to close with, because God has changed the sermon. You saw that happen. Those trees are the biggest and oldest trees in America. The giant redwoods of California. I still stand in awe of just the postcard, the old postcard, of showing one hollowed out and a 50s automobile driving through the hollowed place in that huge tree. It's just incredible. I don't know how many rings the years are represented by each ring in that stump of one of those redwoods, the giant redwoods of California. But there is a unique truth about them to me. It's intriguing. They don't stand all of the test of time and the storms and the fires, everything that all of these myriad of years has brought to them. The reason they're still standing and standing tall and strong is not because individual trees have it within themselves to stand. You know why they're standing strong? In fact, their roots are not as deep as some other variety of trees. But they grow in groves. And the roots of one tree and the other tree intertwine and interconnect. A triple stranded cord is not easily broken. If you and your wife have hooked up in marriage, get God involved in that thing with you. But we've been married 46 years because it's not easily broken. Can you say, man? It didn't mean that there wasn't some kind of tension put on it. It just means it didn't break because it's not that easily broken. If you see marriages that can just break like that, Christian marriages, amen, that's a two-stranded cord, I'll guarantee you. That's that man and that woman that have not made mutual commitments to involve God in it. Because you get God in it, you got a three-stranded cord. Hallelujah. Amen. And listen, you don't just double when you put two strands. It multiplies the strength. You don't just get three times the strength. You get a multiplied strength. Amen. Can you say amen when you start wrapping it together? We get wrapped up in God and we get wrapped up in each other. Can you say amen? The devil is not going to be able to break what God has established. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't care what kind of anointing is there. We got to get God involved in this thing in a personal way. For that tree to go down, this tree's going to have to give. That tree's under duress. This tree's holding. Amen. Those roots are interconnected. Down under the ground, there's a network of great, mighty roots, amen, that are entwined around each other, providing, amen, a strength that is unseen underneath the soil. And those trees are standing strong because those trees are standing united. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm glad to be living where I can see a day when we look at an audience, we don't see black people or white people anymore. We don't see poor people or rich people. Oh, I'm sorry. We don't see what kind of car drives up or pulls out. We don't see Rolex from Timex anymore. Can you say amen? Because we realize it's not what you have, it's who you are. And it's not just who you are in this world, but who you are in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? You know, there's a word keeps reoccurring. This is my closing, by the way. But it could take half an hour. But anyway, we're closing. Amen. You see a word reoccurring in Scripture over and over. 341 times this word is used in one form or another. Brother or brethren is used in the New Testament over 300 times in one form or another. In every rendering of that word, brother, brethren, without exception, you know what it means? From the same womb. From the same womb. My heritage goes back to England. Jolly old England. Yours probably goes back to Africa. He might be a Canadian in disguise. French to France. Why am I not surprised? The French. This explains so much. Thank you for sharing that with us. We love you, Mikey. We're glad to have you back. But when we come to the foot of the cross, what happens? Suddenly, amen, we become the seed of Abraham.
Hallelujah.
Suddenly. Hallelujah. There's no bond, nor free, no rich, nor poor. We become one. One body in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. No male or female. Hallelujah. God embraces us all and hugs us as one, as His own Son. We're accepted in the Beloved. Hallelujah. 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 We get that right in the Church of Jesus Christ, where there's so many isms and schisms. Can you say, man? Where we can come in and feel embraced instead of judged. Can you say amen? Where we can confess our faults instead of being criticized, be shored up in prayer. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Sometimes my assignment is just to listen. Hallelujah. Oh, how we need, amen, people to let their guard down, to let all of this down. I was at a pastor's meeting in my third closing. But I was at a pastor's meeting in this city years ago. We had those meetings, and I was at a pastor's meeting, and I was with about 10 or 12 other ministers from the city for a continental breakfast and just talk and pray and whatever. And we're sitting around the table, and they're going around, and everybody's giving their spiel, you know, and we're all going to have a chance to say something. And it's coming all the way around to me. And I'm the inner city preacher from Suffering Springs. And you know, I don't have the big glorious thing going on. We have all kinds of issues to deal with just to stay there for 25 years and preach full time. And it come around to me. And I looked at all these men and I thought, you know, none of us are being real here today. We're all being what we are expected to be to our congregation. There's no congregation here. We're just these guys with anointing and a calling to pastor, but we're just these bell sheep. We're not superhuman and super whatever. We're guys with needs too. And there was no connection. I think that's why the Lord had me go to this man, sit on the porch with him. Because you can't just, you think at a minister's meeting, everybody's just going to, you know, let their hair down and be open. But that's not the case, because how's he going to think of me if I let him know I have a weakness? I got to show him I got my faith on. Amen? Amen? I got my spirituality going here. I got it all together for God. And that don't mean we should be some kind of crybabies and be living a double standard. It just means that from time to time, somebody is going to be hurting. Somebody is going to be going through something and can't tell anybody about it for fear of being judged or criticized. And when you get that condition, we can't bear one another's burdens because we can't share burdens with one another. Confession thing got so bad one time you couldn't say anything without inviting it to happen or being defeated. And the Bible says, pour your hearts out before him. I'm so glad I got a God that I can pour my heart out to, that will embrace me instead of push me away and help me through my time. It's so good to have a David. You get in the Psalms, David just pours his heart out to God. When his enemies heard him, he said, oh God, how long? How long are you not going to take my part? And he just poured it out. But he'd always come back to faith in God. Never give up his faith. Hallelujah. So anyway, it come around to me. And I didn't feel a revelation. I just didn't feel like saying what was expected to be said. And I remember I just felt unctioned of the Lord. And I didn't want to even try to figure out who's listening, who cares, who don't care, who pays any attention, because I'm the least of the little here in terms of recognition or influence. But that don't matter. I'm fulfilling my assignment. Abe Brown came to the church. I got to hurry and quit. Abe Brown come to our church. And he said, Billy Graham is called to reach the world. I'm called to reach prisoners. And he said, when me and Billy Graham get to heaven, he fulfilled his assignment to reach the world. And God's going to give him a crown for fulfilling his assignment that he was assigned to do and qualified by the Spirit to accomplish. Because God's never going to assign you anything that he don't anoint you for. I've been assigned to go and preach to them people in jail. Nobody has heard of me past Tampa. But Abe said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to get a crown for fulfilling my assignment. He said, it may shock you when you find out that the crowns are given for fulfilling assignments. Not a little crown for the little assignment, the big crown for the big assignment. The crown is given for faithfulness to fulfill the assignment. Can you say amen? He said, it's probably going to shock you that my crown is going to be just as big as Billy's. Because I'm faithful to my assignment. Yeah, enter into the joy of the Lord by good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Praise God. It makes me want to preach this morning. Amen. No matter what comes or what goes, because I believe that I'm standing in my assignment. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Maybe I'm here to help bring healing to your hearts. Glory to God. Well, God loves you that much. You're worth me. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. When we find out that's what it's about. Anyway, it got around to me. And I said, guys, because I wanted to see all that come down. I said, guys, in the garden, God created Adam. There was no sin to interrupt their perfect fellowship, relationship with one another. So what God said next is astounding. God and man in a perfect, perfect spiritual union. Sin had not entered. There was nothing between Adam and God. Perfect spiritual union and communion. And what God says next, what's He say? It's not good for man to be alone. Perfectly fulfilled spiritually, but emotionally, he needed a help meet for him. And it doesn't mean that Mike has to go out and get married to be fulfilled. He can be fulfilled in Christ, but I'm going to tell you what he does need. He needs me. He needs you. And not having a mate, he needs us even more. Amen? Amen? Absolutely. Because God created us to help each other. He created us to grow together. He created us to be part of a body. Hand and foot working in conjunction. Every part of that body supplying that every other part needs. Can you say amen? God's Spirit working through each other. And he said, with all this perfect spiritual relationship, it's not good for man to be alone. E.L. Terry, River Hills Church of God. I got one of his tapes. I think he just recently passed away, according to Brother Spain. Great evangelist for the Church of God. Preached with vigor his whole life, even into his latter years. Tape I got was The Lonely Man on the Top of the Hill. The Lonely Man on the Top of the Hill. And here's Moses in that tape sermon. The top of the hill, watching that battle. God's leader looking down on that battle, and there he stands in his strength, all the strength he could muster. Chaldee says more than we read on the surface of the Hebrew. The Chaldee really brings it out that, because it's written in Hebrew, and Chaldee said he's standing with his hands raised in prayer. See, just the lifting of the hands in and of itself has no significance, but lifting them in praise and lifting them in prayer is mighty. And when he was too tired to pray, or figuratively, his hands begin to come down. And in exhaustion, he has no strength left. Something phenomenal happens to this. Here's this lonely man on top of the hill. But listen, that battle, the ebb and flow changes. God's people begin to lose ground. So he thrusts those hands out in spite of his own personal weakness, his own fallibilities, his own absolute need for support. He prays again. And he sees God's people winning. But he's standing alone at that point on top of the hill. Amen. He's the mighty one that God talks to mouth. But he's as human as anybody else. Can you say amen? And his hands are beginning to come down. Aaron sees what's happening. Hur sees what's happening. And they say, as mighty as he is in God, he needs us too. And they come, and first they bring a stone. And they roll it over to where he was. And say, sit on that. You don't have to stand on that hill by yourself. And then Aaron took one hand. Hur took the other. They held his hands up. And now he says, you know, he's watching God's people win. And I can hear old Moses. Said, I could do this all day long. Devil, I can do this all day long. However long it takes to see the enemy vanquished and victory brought. Amen. Sitting on this stone with my brothers holding my hands up. Hallelujah. I can intercede all day long until victory is won and the enemy is vanquished. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I said, guys, we need each other. God didn't design us to stand in our gifts and our anointings alone. He designed us to be connected. And we need our congregations too. We don't need to be standing up on this pedestal called a pulpit. We need to say, let's pray together. Let's help each other. Let's encourage each other. Together we can see God do wondrous things. Somebody give God praise in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Will you stand to your feet today? Praise the Lord. You would have thought that they would have lost respect for Jesus when this miracle working man that the sea and waves listened to took a towel and put across his arm, put an apron around his waist, walked up to Simon Peter, removed his sandals, got down on his knees, put his feet in the water, began to wash the dust off of those tired, sore feet. But what he really did, and you know what he said? If I, your Lord and Master, would care enough about you and show love to you enough to get down and humble myself to refresh you, don't you ever forget to do this for each other. Can you say amen? Do this for one another. Hallelujah. When times of refreshing come from the hand of the Lord, I believe they're going to come as we begin to minister that ministry of refreshing. It's not just the feet in the basin. It's figurative of something far greater. Amen. It's recognizing. Amen. My sister needs lifting up. My brother needs a helping hand. Hallelujah. We all need somebody to lean on. Can you say amen? And God has given us Himself. God has given us His Son. God has given us His Holy Spirit. But that's not all He gave us. He gave us something else. He gave us pastors. He gave us each other. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why? So that we can get the offering taken. We can get some number to show up strong on the board of how many people attended. No, so we can exhort one another every single day. Can you say amen? They were so interconnected, intercommitted, praise God, that they were, every day they were meeting and breaking bread and praying. They just stayed together. And God did miracles. They were one mind and one accord. And that triple-stranded cord is not easily broken. Praise God. God got in the middle of all of that. And miracles happened on Solomon's porch. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! And they were of one mind. And they were of one accord. This divide and destroy is a tactic as ancient as Satan's absolute fall. He tried it in heaven. Amen. And it failed because God kicked the whole bunch out that tried to divide. But He's got it working down here. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But some of us have got to stand up and say, it stops with me. Praise God. That tale stops with me. That criticism stops with me. Whatever it is, it don't go beyond me. I will not aid and abet the devil in doing this thing. Can you say amen? Handa barosha la bakesi, le solobokoro, li shala la mohota. Amen. There are people come back, didn't hear this service, wasn't in this service, but I hope they sense something happened here while they were out. Something happened while they were gone. When they walk in, they feel something different because we're getting connected to one another. Can you say amen? Submit yourself to one another. Allow ministry to flow one to another. Be ye tender-hearted to one another. Kind to one another. Committed to one another. For you are my body. You are my members upon the earth. You are my hands, my arms, my feet. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. God sees us, therefore, as Adam saw Eve. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. We're His body and His members in particular. And we all have assignment from Him to love and support one another and to reach out to this dying world. Heavenly Father, establish this church in the love of Christ. Fill our hearts to the overflow. Let our love for one another abound. Be like a river coming over its banks at flood time. And by this shall all men know that we are His true followers, because this is taking place one to another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're passed from death to life. We love the brethren. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Number 3, will you please? Let's just lift Him up today. Let's just lift Him up.